alongside this wonderful world of trees and flowers and fish and animals and men and women, alongside this visible creation, there is also an invisible creation, a heavenly creation, another glorious realm. And angels belong to that realm.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And as we get closer to Christmas, Colin, it seems like we do hear more and more about angels. Many of us may be putting an angel on or near the top of our Christmas tree, a time of year where I think we think about angels a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really good thing. There's no Christmas story without the angels, and they are really significant,
yeah.
Really significant. We're looking at a verse in 1 Timothy in chapter 3 where we're told that God has manifested himself in the flesh. He's been vindicated by the Spirit and seen by angels. This is wonderful. It takes us to the heart of the Christmas story. Think about this. The angels saw, worshipped, and adored the Son of God before he ever came into the world. And how astonished they must have been when they saw him lying as a baby in a manger. No wonder they filled the skies on that first Christmas night.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the scriptures tell us that they strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could have called on 10,000 angels when he was suffering on the cross. The angels announced the good news of his resurrection. And when Jesus Christ comes again, he will come with all of his holy angels with him. So really, here's a way to get at the heart of the great story of the Bible, the great story of Christmas, the great story of the gospel. This is all good news for us. And I hope next time you look at the angel at the top of your Christmas tree, if that's what you have, you'll think, yeah, that's really taking me to the heart of the Christmas story. Jesus was seen and adored by angels.
What a thing to think about as we begin this time together. We are in the book of Romans, chapter 10, as we begin this message, seen and proclaimed. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, if you would open your Bible, please, at 1 Timothy and chapter 3 and verse 16. This is the verse we are camped on in the weeks that are leading up to Christmas. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Godliness. This verse is about godliness. And we saw that to be godly is to be God's man or God's woman. That is, God made you for himself. Godliness is the life for which he made you and the life to which he calls you. But sin causes us to be bent in on ourselves. So how can we become godly? How is a godly life possible? Well, great is the mystery of godliness. And we saw that in the Bible, a mystery, very simply, is a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. And the mystery of godliness, the secret God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known, is Jesus Christ himself. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness, he. And then follow six marvelous statements about our Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. Through Jesus Christ, you can live the life for which God made you and the life to which God calls you. Through Jesus Christ, you really can become God's man, God's woman. Through Jesus Christ, you can grow in godliness. And the way in which we grow in godliness is by coming to know more of Jesus Christ, who is in himself the mystery of godliness, the great secret God has revealed. Now, we began, therefore, last week to look at who Jesus Christ is. And we saw first, he was manifested in the flesh. That, of course, is what the Christmas story is all about. God became man in Jesus Christ. God has made himself known to us in Jesus. He was manifested in the flesh. And then he was vindicated by the Spirit. As manifested in the flesh speaks about the birth of Jesus, vindicated by the Spirit speaks about the resurrection of Jesus. So here is the great mystery of godliness. The incarnation, the resurrection are secrets that God has revealed, though their full wonder, of course, is still to be made known. Now today, we're going to look at the next line of this remarkable ancient Christian creed. Almost certainly this was a creedal statement that may have been recited aloud by Christian believers in the early church, or at least part of a creed. You'll notice that it's written in the form of poetry. There's meter, there's rhythm in these wonderful lines. And for that reason, I think we might reasonably regard this as perhaps one of the first Christmas carols ever written, because it is a marvelous statement about Jesus Christ and his coming into the world. We're looking today then at these marvelous words, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations. Angels. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means the heavens and the earth, that alongside the earthly creation that is visible to us, God has also a heavenly creation, a creation that he has made in heavenly places that is invisible to us. The apostle speaks about this in Colossians in chapter 1. By him, that is by Christ, all things were created. Christ was the agent of God's creation. The Father acted through the Son in creation. By him, all things were created in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible. So alongside this wonderful world of trees and flowers and fish and animals and men and women, alongside this visible creation, there is also an invisible creation, a heavenly creation, another glorious realm. And angels belong to that realm. That's why we sing angels from the realms of glory. Now, the word angel, agelos, very simply means a messenger or a herald. Now, that's why we sing, hark the herald angels sing. God sends his angels to speak. They announce the good news. And we see this all over the Christmas story. And God sends angels to serve. In one of the clearest statements about angels in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, we read this, that they are ministering spirits sent out to serve. They're sent to serve and they speak. They're messengers. That's what the word angel means. So from that, we can give this little summary or definition. Angels are messengers. That's what the word means. They are sent to speak of Christ and they are sent to serve Jesus Christ. Angels are messengers. Now, this word agelos, angels, normally translated angels in the New Testament, is sometimes also used of human messengers, because the word simply means messenger. So, for example, our Lord Jesus, speaking about John the Baptist, quotes from the Old Testament, and in Matthew 11 and verse 10, he says this of John, "This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger." Agelos could be translated angel. I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way for you. So John the Baptist is described as agelos, a messenger, an angel, which clearly does not mean that John was a disembodied spirit. He ate wild locusts and honey, and he was dressed in that awful camel hair. It does not mean that John was a disembodied spirit. What it means, very simply, is that John did what angels do. He was a messenger. He spoke of and served Jesus Christ. Now, since agelos in the New Testament is translated and can be translated either as angel or as messenger, there are some commentators who suggest that seen by angels may actually be a reference to the apostles. The meaning then would be this: Christ was manifested in the flesh through his birth. He was vindicated by the Spirit through his resurrection. Well, now, what happened after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Well, he appeared to the apostles. He was seen by the messengers, by the agalos. And what did the apostles do next? Well, they went out to proclaim the good news of the risen Lord Jesus Christ to the nations. So there's a flow there and a continuity there, and that could indeed be the meaning here. But frankly, it is one of these places where it is difficult to be sure. I think that seen by angels refers to the ministry of angels. The ministry of angels who announced the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, that he was manifested in the flesh and that he was vindicated by the Spirit. And the ministry of angels who announced that he was manifested in the flesh and that he was vindicated by the Spirit is put alongside the ministry of the apostles, who then took the message declared by angels and proclaimed it to the nations. Seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations. And the point of putting these two together, that is the witness of angels who declared his birth and his resurrection, and the ministry of the apostles who then took that message to the nations, the point of putting these two together is surely this: that the ministry of angels is in fact the model for the ministry of the apostles and for our ministry today. What were angels to do? Well, they were messengers sent by God to speak of Christ and to serve him. So the apostles were sent out as messengers to speak of Christ and to serve him. So we today are messengers sent out by God to speak of Jesus Christ and to serve him in the world today.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Seen and Proclaimed. It's part of a larger series we're calling Jesus. And if you miss any part of a broadcast, you can always come to our website and you can listen online. Just stop by unlockingthebible.org. And while you're there, I want to ask you to consider a year-end gift. But we want to say thank you for your giving by sending you a book entitled Open the Bible in 30 Days. It's a great book that Pastor Colin has written, taking you all the way through the Bible story, showing you the hills and the valleys, and how the whole Bible ties together. We want to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thanks for your support. You can give online at unlockingthebible.org, or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. All right, back to the message. Once again, here's Pastor Colin.
Now let's then focus in on this marvelous ministry of angels that not only was a model for the ministry of the apostles, but also is a model for our ministry here today. Seen by angels. Angels were messengers, and they were sent to announce, first, the birth of Jesus, that he was manifested in the flesh. They were the heralds. Hark, the herald angels sing. Notice how the angels announced the coming of Jesus Christ in the world to Mary. The angel appeared and announced the coming of the Son of God. Mary said, "How can this be, seeing that I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And then it was the angels who announced the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. For to you this day in the city of David a Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord." Now, notice the ministry of angels here. This is very important. They explain the meaning of the birth of Jesus. A baby was born in a small town called Bethlehem many years ago. What is the significance of that for us today? Well, the angels tell us what it means and why it matters. The one who is born, they announce, is the Lord. And the reason that he has come is to be our Savior. If we ask Savior from what, again, the angels give us the answer. The angel appeared to Joseph and said, call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, friends, here is why this matters, especially for us today. We live in a culture where people dismiss any claim to truth with a single phrase, and we've all heard it, that's just your interpretation. You speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will find time and again that what you say is dismissed. Well, that's just your opinion. That's just your interpretation. And so we end up in a postmodern world with, you know, there's this marvelous story about a baby being born in a manger. What does it mean to you? Really, at the end of the day, it's all a matter of personal opinion. No. God sent the angel to tell us what the birth of Jesus means, what it means for you. Here's what it means for you. A Savior is born. And he came because you need saving. And the Savior who is born is Jesus Christ the Lord. So friends, please don't settle for the widely propagated myth that the Bible just contains certain stories and it's down to us to decide what they all mean. For sure, there are places in the Bible where interpretation is not clear. I mean, I've just referred to one of them. It is not entirely clear whether seen by angels in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6 refers to heavenly beings or whether it might be a reference to the ministry of the apostles who saw the risen Lord Jesus and became his messengers to the nations. But I'll tell you, there isn't anyone whose eternal destiny depends on which one of these turns out to be right. But I'm saying to you today that in the things that matter most, the things on which your eternity hangs, God has left us in absolutely no doubt whatsoever. God tells us what happened, and God tells us what it means. How could the shepherds have possibly known that this baby lying in a manger was actually God manifested in the flesh? There's only one way that they could ever have known. God has to tell them. They'd never have worked it out. And so God tells us, sends the angel. And the angel tells them. Now, to underline that, I want you to notice that when you come to the resurrection of Jesus, the Easter story, you have exactly the same pattern. Angels were God's messengers not only to announce his birth, but also to announce his resurrection. Not only to announce that he was manifested in the flesh, but also to announce that he was vindicated by the Spirit. Now remember that story. On the Easter morning, the women came, they arrived at the tomb, and they found that it was empty. The stone was rolled away. But what did that mean? I mean, it wasn't that the women turned to each other and said, oh, look, the stone's rolled away. The tomb is empty. He's risen from the dead. That would have been a matter of personal interpretation. That is not what happened. If that had been what happened, then of course other people would have come and said, ah, look, the tomb is empty. That must mean that the disciples stole the body. That would have been a matter of interpretation too. And then for the next 2,000 years, we just say, well, there's one interpretation, there's another interpretation. What do you think? That's exactly where the postmodern world is. That is not what happened. The resurrection was not a matter of private interpretation from the women or everyone else. What happened? We're told in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 5 and 6 that to the women who were perplexed, that's the word that's used in Luke's gospel in chapter 24. The women looked at the empty tomb and rather than drawing a conclusion, they didn't have the faintest idea what it meant. They were perplexed. What's this? What's going on? So how did they know what had really happened? The answer is God sent an angel to tell them. Matthew 28, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." So please understand, this is very important. The resurrection of Jesus was not an inference drawn by the women from the empty tomb. It was announced by the angel. And then it was confirmed to the apostles by the subsequent resurrection appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what that means. Christian faith is not a matter of personal interpretation. It does not rest on an individual's feelings or impulses or experiences. At its heart, Christian faith is a matter of believing God's own explanation of events as revealed to us in the Scripture.
What a great definition of Christian faith. You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message that's called Seen and Proclaimed. And we're going to continue this message next time. If you ever miss a broadcast or you just want to go back and listen again, you can always do that when you come to our website. It's unlockingthebible.org. You know, as we get closer to the end of this year, I want to ask you to consider a generous year-end gift. Our passion here at Unlocking the Bible, our mission, is to get God's Word into as many people's lives as possible and then to help them grow in their understanding of God's Word, seeing how the big picture of the Bible all fits together. And one of the things that we've developed to do that here at Unlocking the Bible, Colin, is a website, openthebible.org. Just a fascinating way to learn the storyline of the Bible.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this, Steve. It is a major initiative in which we have invested a great deal, and I am hoping and praying together with all of our team here that this is going to be a means of introducing many people to the Bible for the first time and encouraging many who know something of the Bible, but they've never really seen the big picture of the Bible story. Quick headline, if you go to a national park, you could take a flight over it, you could take a drive through it, or you could hike in it. And openthebible.org gives you an opportunity to take a journey through the Bible story, Genesis to Revelation. You can do it in 10 sessions, 30 sessions, 50 sessions, different starting points, different levels of simplicity, so that there's a starting place for everyone. And what we're finding is that there are many people who are discovering the Word of God for the first time. In fact, we're challenging folks in our church here just with this question. Who in your life needs to know the God of the Bible and might be open to open the Bible with you if you ask them to do that? And it's wonderful to see that people are finding that's actually a relatively easy ask. Would you be interested in opening the Bible with me? You know, there's a hunger for the Word of God, and we want to get the Word of God into as many people's hands as possible in a way that they can understand it, see that Jesus is the center of the Bible story, and put their faith in Him and find new life in Him. But we really need your help in this ministry. If you believe what we believe, that God speaks through His Word, that God's Word actually changes life, please stand with us and help us to open the Bible for many, many, many people. In God's grace and mercy, may He use these things to lead many to faith in Christ as the Word of God is opened.
Well, you can stand with us both prayerfully and financially. You can give your gift online by coming to unlockingthebible.org. You can also give us a call. Our toll-free number is 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. Or one more time, our website is unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for doing that. Thanks for standing with us and giving that generous gift as we approach the end of the year. And I do hope you'll tune in next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. What does the birth of Jesus mean for you? Find out on the next Unlocking the Bible.